Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazard coming to you from Bristol, Tennessee. We down here, and we're going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And then we're going to cross over there and talk to Texas there a little bit. Amen. Down there where Tim Jackson is. Amen. I think he's coming on now. Amen. We thank the Lord for being here tonight. We thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. We thank the Lord for what he's doing for us and what he's trying to do through us to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he is coming back again. He's coming to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And I know the world is seeming like they don't want to take in what's going on today. But really, with time is running out. Time is running out. We only got a short time to be here. The church is almost about to leave here, and people can't see it. And the reason they can't see it, they're blind. And by them being blind, they're more in the world scene, caught up in the world things, caught up in the world system, and can't see that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. I know I've been preaching this for a good while, 57 years. Amen. Letting people know about Bible prophecy and all that's going on. Amen. And we to coming tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, for he is Lord to the glory of God. He is God all by himself. We thank the Lord for his love and his mercy that he has bestowed up on us to preach the gospel. We ain't preaching motivation speeches. We're not going to preach money. We're not going to preach how good you look and how well you're doing. We are preaching salvation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer. He is the answer for what? Soul salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. For he is God Almighty in the flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. And when he left earth, he said, I will come back. And when I come back, I'm coming back as a thief and a robber. I'm going to come back like a twinkling of an eye. When the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a glorious day. What a day that will be when we see Jesus. Amen. The world is in languish. The world is groaning. The world is in pain. The world is mystified. Don't know what's going on in the world today. But let me tell you, we're going to try to explain to you what's going on and how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ, realizing that no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, but the Bible ain't said nothing about no man knowing the year and the month, amen, that the Lord is to return. You cannot comprehend, amen, four time zones, and try to predict when Jesus Christ is coming back, because you got four time zones, and nobody knows, only the what? Only the Father. The Father, not even the Son knows, but the Father. Well, who is the Son? The Son is Jesus Christ. Well, who is the Father? Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's who the Father is. And he's in the flesh. He was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, and received up into glory. We're going to come on in tonight. Amen. And we're going to have prayer. Amen. Right now, in Jesus' name. Father, we come to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you use my lips of clay that I can speak to the people, those that's listening out there, those that's on fire for you and knowing what's getting ready to happen. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that are standing up for the word of God. We thank you for the ones that's listening. And we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, bless right now. Use my lips of clay that I may speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tim, you out there yet? Amen. Praise God. What we're going to do, we're going to go to the book of what? Genesis. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, And we are going to read the sixth chapter of Genesis and see what we see in Genesis that refers to today and all that's going on in our world today. And that is the sixth chapter we read. This is God's word. This is not me making this up. This is not me thinking it up. This is not me fixing it up. This is what the word of God says, written by Moses. Moses was a writer of the first five books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And here in the book of Genesis, we read the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter is like this. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that is also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bear children unto them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw, this is what God saw, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented that the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. Now listen, God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God said, I'm sorry I made them. I won't do it again. I'm gonna follow this up. Amen. You know why? He said I'm gonna follow this up, because the reason that the world has come polluted, the world has come rebellious, the world has been went crazy, stare crazy, is sin crazy. Why? Because there was an incident a great, long before I was thought of, long before time was even brought into existence. There was a quarrel. There was a coup. There was a rebellion. There was an awesome rebellion in heaven against God. Because when God created the heavens and the earth, he brought it forth. And if you would read carefully in the second chapter of Genesis, and then you will find in the second verse in Genesis, the first chapter, it says, and the earth was bored, and there was darkness upon the deep. What happened right there? Something happened. There was a great cataclysm. There was a great rebellion in heaven. It started in heaven. By who? It started by what? Let me show you what it started by. Let me get the scriptures now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to lead you in the dark. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Let's read what happened in the second chapter of Genesis. In the second chapter of Genesis, we go to the 14th chapter of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, amen, the 14th chapter, it reads thus. Starting at the 12th verse. Here is where the trouble started. In the first chapter of Genesis, get your Bible out, go to the first chapter and look at the second verse. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God spoke it into existence. And then the second verse says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. That's a key verse on what happened between the first, third verse. The third verse all the way out, it tells you God recreated what happened at the second verse. The second verse, this is what happened at the second verse. Listen, in the book of Isaiah, 14th chapter, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be what like the Most High. Yet, listen now, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit, that they see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one to his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down into the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet." What happened in this year writing that Isaiah broke down? He broke it down and said there was a what? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou fallen from heaven? Why did Lucifer fall from heaven? He fell from heaven because he wanted the whole universe. He wanted to dethrone God. He wanted to take the place of God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to sit on the throne like God and do everything that God did. He wanted to do a coup in heaven. Now, this is before. This is the Ion of Eon. This happened because when God created heaven and earth, man wasn't even on it. And then when Lucifer fell, he came to earth after God had created, and he disformed it. Look what he did. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Well, see, when God created anything, he didn't create void. He didn't create it in chaotic. God is not the God of chaos. He's the God of order. He's the God of perfection. He's the God of righteousness. So he never created anything in dismay. But what happened? Lucifer, look what he done. Look what Lucifer done. Lucifer, through his beauty, through his gorgeous self, oh, man, did he look immaculate. He was on ball. He was a tough, dressed to kill. And if you want to find any more information, you got to go to the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And Ezekiel describes how Lucifer looked like before he fell. He will tell you exactly what he looked like before he fell. And before he fell, he was a gorgeous angel. But after he fell, he became, in similar to the Bible describes, a dragon. He became anti-God. He became Beelzebub. He became the wicked one. He became the son of perdition. And when he came to earth, when he was cast to earth, he disformed it. He wrecked it. And by him wrecking it, God had to recreate it and bring it back into order. And it took him, what, 6 days. 6 days. How long is a day to God? One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So I don't know how long, amen, it took me, but he's the God of eternity. Ooh, he had no beginning. He have no end. And he introduced time between two eternities. And when he produced ties between the two eternities, guess what happened? My God, I tell you what happened. He said, now listen, Lucifer, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't rebel against me. And I believe that it's not scripture, but I believe that God was so merciful that he didn't want Lucifer to do what he wanted to do. God is so merciful. Woo! God is so kind. God is so loving. God is so compassionate. Don't
Amen.
Do it, Lucifer. Don't do it, man. I made you to be the guardian of my throne. I made you to be the director of the choirs of heaven, because God wanted praise. God loved praise. And before God even created, listen to me, before God even created the angels, there was nobody to praise him. Oh, come on now. Listen to me. God is, he's unique. God wanted praise, so he created angels. He created a choir director. Lucifer was the choir director. He had all the music instruments in him. Ooh, he could get up a tune, man, and the angels would just flap their wings. Some of them have wings. Some of them don't have wings. I don't know.
Amen.
Most we see wings, but God sometimes can use an angel, and they don't have wings. But anyway, they would flap their wings and shout in joy. And rejoice in God. And that's what God wanted, because he is worthy to be praised. Good God Almighty. He's worthy. He's worthy all the time. Why? Because there's nobody like him. There's nobody that can tell him what to do. There's nobody can tell him where he came from. But I can tell you one thing. He came from nowhere. And nowhere means that he's everywhere. And since he's everywhere,
Amen.
There's nowhere. Thank God, because everywhere I go, I don't care where I go, God is already there. Woo! If I make my bed in hell, he's there. Woo! If I go down and fly to the upper parts of the heaven, God is there. Hallelujah. And so he had that kind of power. He is that kind of power. And Lucifer said, now look, I'm going to turn this turkey down. I'm going to take what? I'm going to go to heaven. And here's where the trouble started. He went through heaven. He went through heaven. You hear me what I'm saying? Lucifer went through heaven and talked to a majority of the angels. And this angel host that God has is unnumberable. I don't, you're talking about billions and billions and billions and billions of quadrillions of angels that he had. And Lucifer started talking. And when he started talking, he started whispering in the angelic ears. And the angelic ears listen. And one-third of the angelic host, look here, one-third of the angelic host follow Satan. And when they follow Satan, God kicked Lucifer out, angelic beings out, and they became wicked. You talking about wicked. They became so depraved and so maliciously that there's no redemption in Lucifer. There's no redemption in his angels. They cannot be saved. They cannot be redeemed, because they were ministering spirits and they knew right from wrong. And by them knowing right from wrong, when they fell, they're eternal damned. Lucifer is eternal damned forever. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. He don't like nothing concerning the holiness of God Almighty. And since God Almighty still rules, he super rules, and Satan thinks he can overthrow God even to this day. He still thinks he's winning, but he's losing. Every day he's losing. And those that follow Lucifer, those that do the will of Lucifer, those that have not been regenerated, those have not been saved, those have not been sanctified, those have not been glorified, those are not that don't love God and be redeemed by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Guess what? They're doomed with it. And
that's
who
right.
The world look like now? It's in total confusion. Who's the world serving now? They're serving Satan. Oh, I know God got some people. Oh, don't let the number fool you. Hey, God rather have a few righteous people than 10 unrighteous people that's claiming his name. He'd rather have a dozen than 20,000 dozen. Why? Because God always worked with a small group of people. Yes, he does. The church is big. Yes, it's big. But Satan on the earth now, he has a bigger church than God. But it's false. Most churches that's on fire for God is usually small churches. Come on now. Small churches are the one usually on fire because they got a work to do for God on earth. They got a work for God for them to do. And what is that job? Go to Second Acts. What did the people Christ said to the church when they was at the day of Pentecost? They were what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, go out into the world. Don't let the world come to you. You go out to the world and be what? Be a witness for me. Be a example of me. Talk like me. Live like me. And by the face of your glory, let my glory shine upon your face that when people look at you, they'll know something is strange. And let me tell you, a Christian is a strange world. I'm strange to a lot of people. I'm strange. And if you're a Christian serving God, loving God, you're a stranger. Why? Because this is not your home. Christ is building a church that's made through his shed blood on Calvary's cross. I don't want to get off the subject, but I want to get back with what we're talking about. What you call it? Then I'm going to give it to Brother Tim. Let him come on in there. But I want to kind of lay the ground a little bit.
Amen.
Genesis 1 says in the second verse, void, darkness upon the face of the earth. What happened there? That's where Satan failed. That's where he failed. And when he came down here with all them angels, he brought darkness to the world. He brought, and I'm not talking about naturally a physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness. He blinded. He used deception to blind people. He turns away the word of God to blind people. He tells people all kind of lies and get-goes and all kind of down-goes. But anyway, when God recreated the heaven and earth, and after he recreated it and did it on what? He did it a six-day plan. He worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And guess what? The sixth day is now. We're living in the sixth day. We're living in the sixth millennium. We're living at the end of the sixth millennium. This millennium is all over. 6,000 years, every 2,000 years, something happened. From Adam all the way to Abraham, 2,000 years. What happened? Abraham was born. Abraham was here. Who was Abraham? Abraham is the father of many nations.
By him being the father of many nations,
God had to get a man that would have faith in him, trust in him, depend upon him, rely on him to bring a nation into existence. And this nation was to do three things. Good God Almighty. He was to what? Write the Holy Scriptures, because the Bible was written by the Jews. There's a few writers in there. Amen. Like Luke, he was a Gentile. We find a couple women in there that were Gentiles. He grafted them in, like Rahab. He grafted Ruth in, which was a Moabite, and three or four more other women that was grafted in because God was telling the world, look, I come to save the Jew first, but I also come for the Gentile. And by him coming for the Gentile, he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. And that goes for race, creed, color, ethnic background, blind, crippled, crazy. I don't care what condition you're in. God can save you by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So what happened? God recreated. To make a long story short, because I want to give my co-worker together. I'm gonna split this up, and he can come in and pick up on this. Amen. But I want to let you know that in this time and season that we're living in, every 2,000 years something happened from Adam and Eve to Abraham 2,000 years from Abraham to the cross. Good God Almighty, 2,000 years. Hallelujah. And from the cross to the second coming of Jesus Christ is 2,000 years. Well, the 2,000 years are almost up. It's almost over. And people as blind as a bat. They're walking around here like, oh, we got a little time. I don't know if he's coming or not. You've been talking about it for a long time, preacher. Oh, yes, you've been doing this for a long time, and he ain't came yet. Well, they were talking about it in the Paul's day. They were talking about in the medieval time. They were talking about in the ancient time, about Jesus Christ coming the first time and the second time. And in the modern time, people almost stop talking about it. Ain't nobody don't want to hear. Most folks today don't want to hear about the return of Jesus Christ. Want him to come, brother. I ain't playing. I want the Lord to come. But before he comes, I want to occupy till he comes. In other words, I want to preach the gospel to whoever want to listen, to let them know you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. Brothers and sisters out there that's listening to me, you don't want to go to hell. No, you
right.
Number one, if you go to hell, you're gonna be there forever. If you go to hell, you're gonna be consumed, not away. You're gonna be burning forever. What? For your sins. For your sins. You have to pay the penalty for sin. And in the sixth chapter, you see what Noah had to do. Amen. When God told Noah. And what was going on in that day, because in the sixth chapter, there was something real gross that was going on in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And that was, there was some fallen angels that came down from heaven, and they was on the Mount of Hermon, Mount Hermon. That's over in the Middle East. Amen. And Enoch was saying that there was 200 of them. And these 200 angels decided, amen, to do something which God did not permit to do, and that is crossbreed. They was to cross.
Amen.
Married the daughters of men. In other words, they said, let us have sex with these women, and we can crossbreed. And they will produce Nephilim. Nephilim are half human and half angels. And these things became giants in the land. And they became very wicked. They became so wicked that tell me God looked down in for heaven and seen what Lucifer had orchestrated, what he had done, and every baby that was born crossbreed with the angels came out to be demons. When they leave the body, they become demons. They become river rabbits. They're cruel. They're slaughtered. They're killing people today. They're roaming through the air. They're the prince power of the air. Come on, y'all. Bible. Why don't you read your Bible? Apostle Paul say, arm yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. Because the devil is seeking and roaring like a lion. He's the prince power of the air. He controls the media. He controls the false churches. He controls loose people. He controls unbelievers. Anybody that's an unbeliever, you're in the influence of the devil. Because the only thing that can set the devil down is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if the blood of Jesus Christ has not been applied to your life, if you have not been changed, if you have not been born again, because the Bible says you know that you know you've been born again because you love the brother. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a stone-faced, backbone liar. He's a liar. Love God, whom you have never seen, and your brother's looking at you in face to face. And the devil is doing this today. And guess what happened? The world got so corrupt and so abominable. And I'm going to hand it over to the brother. Maybe he can pick up on it. It got so abominable that God said, I'm going to destroy the whole defiled human race. And God looked over the earth and see if he could find somebody that could hold and stand in the gap. And the Bible says he took Noah. And looked at Noah, a preacher of righteousness, a man that feared God, a man that respect God, a man that feared God's voice and did exactly what God told him to do. And he said, build yourself an ark. Build an ark out of gopher wood. I'll give you 120 years to do it. And guess what? Noah got busy. He got busy. He built, worked on that. Hey, day and night. Woo, he was working like a man digging for his life. And to tell me the men begin to multiply upon the face of the earth. Oh, man, it was getting wicked. A lot of people say, and I'm going to give it to the brother. Ooh, but I want to finish this. He said this. It got so wicked that the people were becoming homosexuals. They were born with men. These angels, these half-breed satyrs were going with each other. There was incest in the family. There was no family value. They were cheating, lying, gambling. They were whoremongering. They had their own preachers. They had their own service. And I tell you, they gave a lot of motivation speeches back in that day, I bet you. And they were motivating the people. Don't believe Noah. Don't you believe that crap. He's a bunch of junk. He's a crap. But Noah kept on building. And when he got through with the boat, the last sign that the people didn't pick up on that it was going to rain was when God called all the animals. He called all the animals on the boat, two by two, and by seven, clean animals. That was the last sign that it was going to rain and the last sign that the people had an opportunity to get on the boat. Guess what?
That's right.
Nobody got on the boat. Nobody but eight people. Can you imagine?
That's right.
And look at something. They were multiplying and they were living at longevity. They were living like 300, 400, 500 years. And so the earth was filled. But it
That's
wasn't
right.
filled with righteousness. It was filled with wickedness. And the people were just crazy. They had lost their mind. They were calling evil good and good evil. And Jesus Christ comes along, I don't know, 4,000 years later, and said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And he said, when you see these things, look up for your redemption. Now get a load of this, and I'm going to shut down. Lord, help me, Jesus. He said, when you saw them out, get on the boat. They got on the boat. And guess what? God sailed the boat. And guess what? Noah was on the inside. And when Noah was on the inside, that means the Holy Spirit sealed him in. He couldn't get out. He couldn't jump out. He couldn't cry and say, Lord, I'm walking. I can't take this storm. He stayed on the boat, told his wife, told his sons, God is going to let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Cross. An ark was the type of the cross. Why? Because both took wood for Noah to be delivered. Hey, because many men died on the cross. But let me tell you, there's only one man died on the cross that brought salvation. And that salvation was through Jesus Christ, his shed blood on Calvary's cross. And guess what? When you believe in him, trust in him, rely on him, and depend upon him, he'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. And when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, God got you forever. You can't walk out of it. You can't talk your way out of it. You can't run your way out of it. You can't gossip your way out of it. Because why? Because you're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Now, I'm going to close with this. Lord, help me. I'm going to close with you. What is the greatest, what is the most unique, significant sign that tells, God is trying to tell this generation, you better get right because I'm getting ready to do something. And you know Noah got the animals on and he sealed it. God sealed the Holy Spirit. And after that, guess what it did? It started raining. And when it started raining, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. One of the greatest prophecies that's being fulfilled today. This is going to shock you. One of the greatest prophecies that God is showing us today is people's blind in one eye and can't see out the other. And that is the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Gog and Magog. This is the
World
War III battle. This is the battle that's going to call the church home. This is the battle that's going to church is going to be raptured up, because the battle cannot come to a full blossom until the church is removed from the planet. Everybody wishes, oh, we're praying that the war don't come. But the war is coming because God inspired Ezekiel in the 38th and 39th chapter. He said, when you see this coming, I'm getting ready to do something, because the thing that's going to be done in the earth between now and September is going to shock. It's going to shock the whole world. It's going to mesmerize the whole world. It's going to have people running in the streets crying out, what happened? What happened? Because Apostle Paul said, in the last days, perilous times have come. And now we're in the last days, and just before Gog and Magog make an attack up on Israel, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. And that's because the church will not go through the tribulation period. And I'm closing. Why? Because the red horse and the white horse comes in different sequences. What comes first? The white horse, Antichrist son. What comes after the Antichrist? The red horse. Who is the red horse? Russia is the red horse. What they're going to do? Take peace from the earth. It's going to be a ravishing thing. So what I'm saying, friends, you need to be saved. Whew, it's as simple as that. You need Jesus Christ. Because if you miss the rapture, you're going to have to face the Antichrist. You're going to have to face Gog and Magog. You're going to have to face the black horse. You're going to have to face the pale, sickly-looking horse. And guess where the church is going to be? The church will be in glory at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be judged for what? Our works will be tested, whether it be wood, hay, or stubble, or whether it will be what? Gold, silver, and brass. Jesus Christ can save your soul from sin. And the world is saying today, I'll take you up on that later, but don't wait too late. And most people, the generation of the day, most people will wait too late. And buddy, you don't want to be too late for dinner. You don't want to be too late when the bank getting ready to close, and you got five seconds before closing, you 5 miles away. You're gonna miss it. And a lot of church folks gonna miss it. Why? Because they're not ready. They have the form of godliness, but they don't have no power. Brother Tim, go ahead and walk with it a little bit. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Amen, brother. That was awesome. Amen. Wonderful word. Amen. This is true. Amen. Amen. We want our listeners to understand. Amen. I was sleeping good, brother. Amen. So forgive me. Amen. I had woke up. It was time to be on
ahead,
the earth. Amen. So.
That's all right. I got you.
Amen. Covered. Amen. You know, you got to get that extra nap in. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the times and seasons, amen, that the brother's talking about, we are 2,000 years since the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
We thank him for his ultimate sacrifice. We thank him, amen. The brother talks about eternity and time. We're thankful for eternity intervening in time. Amen. Our Lord and Savior coming down and redeeming us, redeeming men's souls, giving us the opportunity to receive salvation. Amen. I did an extensive study today on everlasting life and eternal life, which I won't reveal too much today because I'm not finished. Amen. I'm still working on it. Amen. But I'll probably touch on it just a little bit. Amen. But what I want to talk about is just a little bit of the lesson from the fig tree coming from Matthew's 4th chapter. Let's go over that real quick. Amen. And I believe it starts in around verse 32. Let's see what the Bible says. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen.
Yes,
it starts in verse 32. Amen. The verse 32 through 35 is the lesson of the fig tree. So I'm going to read some of these scriptures. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Amen. So it's important to understand that we are not trying to predict the return of Christ. But Christ did talk about times and seasons. Amen. And he also told, amen, so his disciples didn't have to worry about this time of the end because Christ knew it was going, they were going to be far passed away, passed on and gone before this time came about. Amen. Christ knew that.
Amen.
Amen. Paul also knew and said, amen, the times and seasons, amen. He said not to really concern ourselves with it because we won't be here in the great tribulation. But there was a warning that Christ gave to John, amen, over in the book of Revelation. And the warning was in these times and seasons that we are to pay attention to them, amen. So not to totally ignore them, amen, but to what? To warn the church of these times, amen. The time was getting near for the return of Christ. Because Christ always said, watch. And what he was simply saying is, amen, have your house in order. Amen, because he come as what? A thief in the night. Amen.
Yes.
We're not trying to predict the day or the hour, but we are telling you what we believe the time that Christ may return to this planet. Amen. So understand, you know, sometimes people kind of misinterpret what you're trying to do, what you're trying to say. Amen. I don't want no one to think that we're stepping out of our boundaries and bringing you this word and teaching you this word. We just want people to be aware of the things that are going on in this world. Amen.
Come on.
And I'm telling you, amen, when I say we are getting so close, just watching a lot of things that's just going on in this world, it's heartbreaking for those who are totally ignoring God. Amen.
Amen.
People act as if they don't want anything to do with Christ. I mean, it ain't just the young folks anymore. It's everybody. Hey, you talk to people who are, amen. Amen. You talk to people who are mature in age. They don't want nothing to do with Christ. Amen. You speak to people that they just don't want to believe. They don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. This is a sad time. Amen. It used to be a time where people would at least have the respect and decency to listen to you some. Amen. I remember when I was a young man. There used to be this this brother. He was an elder in age. Amen. He was an elder. He was mature in age. And I never forget this brother. Amen. I was a young man. He was mature in age, and he used to always ask. He wouldn't mind. He didn't care. He would ask anybody. Young man, you saved? You believe in Christ? He used to always ask people that. It was funny because he didn't care if he was on the bus stop, at the store. I remember this older brother, amen. I don't see him anymore. This has been now, but definitely over 30 years ago. And so I don't know if he's passed on and gone on, amen, to be at peace with the Lord, amen. But I remember him when I was a young man. I always asked people. He didn't care who you were. Young man, young lady, you believe in Christ? I mean, he said, just like that, you believe in God, you believe in Christ, are you saved? And it was just funny because,
amen,
you know, people don't see that anymore is what I'm saying. And, you know, people are so offended by everything now. You can't say nothing to people. You say
come
something
on,
about
preacher.
God, they're just so offended. They don't want to hear. They don't want you to talk to them like that. The devil has done this, amen, because why? He don't want for hearing about the soul being saved, amen.
Come on,
now, if you say something, you can only say it in the church or in the four walls or even on the air or certain on social media. And sometimes if you say certain things, you have to be careful what you say or how you say it. Amen.
Amen.
But I remember one point in time when they was trying to actually – come inside the church and kind of tell pastors what they can say in the church. You know, a lot of people weren't going for that. Amen. That's one thing I'm glad the church stood up on. They wasn't going for that. Man, you can't come on our show or amen, or in the four walls of the church or whatever I'm doing and tell me how to conduct and how to preach the word. We preach an unapologetic gospel. Amen. I tell people I don't apologize
amen.
For nothing in the Bible. Amen. I remember having a conversation a long time ago with a gentleman, amen, he was gay, amen. I told him, I said, the Bible is unapologetic. There's no apology for the word of God. What the word of God says to the sinner, it says it. Amen. It convicts everybody, even me. Amen. The Bible tells me to live a certain way and do something. Amen. That's what I have
Come
to
on.
Do. Amen.
Come on.
And so if you're going to be in accordance with the word, the Bible says that, you know, not to steal, not to kill, not to fornicate, not to commit adultery. Amen. The Bible has a lot of rules. Amen. It don't just touch people who are gay or lesbian. That's what people have to understand. Just because you have a strong stance on your view on life doesn't mean that it's not just talking to you. It's talking to people who cheat on their taxes. Amen. It's talking to people who like to lie, people who like to steal, people like to cheat, people doing things in the dark. Amen. It ain't just people like to get on the phone and gossip. It ain't just talking about a certain group of people, but sometimes you got people who just take things so hard and so offensive. They just want to make a big deal. They want everybody to apologize to them, but they don't want to apologize to nobody about what they do and what they say and how they feel.
Come on.
Everybody gets an apology except for the man of God, the woman of God.
Come on.
And we are the most offended class of people on the place on the planet.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We are more offended by everything and everything in the world and by everybody in the world. But yet we don't get no apology. We don't get no pass. We don't get no excuses. We don't get to stand up and say, hey, we don't believe that people should be doing this, should be watching porn or doing porn or prostituting or lying and stealing and cheating. We don't get all that. When we are offended, we have to just take it. Amen. They don't care if we offend that. I'm serious, brother. Hey, used to be any regulations or anything in the workplace for me based on what I believe. People go about cursing and cussing and saying any and everything. They don't care. If we speak out against it, well, that's just how the people are allowed to stir mind, they say.
Uh-huh.
But how come when we want to speak our mind, the world is so offended? You can't say that. And then the world has a nerve to come ask us for an apology. I ain't apologizing to nobody for nothing. Amen. Not when it comes to the word of God. Amen. I'm not just saying just regular everyday stuff. Amen. If I say I like a certain team and you don't like it, amen, I might apologize. I might not. Amen. But I'm saying stuff on a more serious matter. If I have a stance or a view on something, I don't owe you an apology. Amen.
Amen.
You will just have to get over it. Amen. This is just the world that we live in. This is the world that the devil has built. The Bible, Christ talks about it because men don't want their sins to be brought to the forefront. They don't want to be called out on what they're doing.
No.
They don't
no.
want to be judged uh-uh. on what they're doing. I'm not talking about just sexual sin. There are far more other sins out there than sexual sin. Amen.
Come
sin
on,
is sin before yes, God. Amen. People, something else, people love to put a number on sin. Amen. There's people out here stealing money, misrepresenting books, accounting books, not paying our taxes. There's a whole lot of other things going on here in the world that man is doing that's so evil and deceptive. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
My wife used to tell me when she used to, when she still works for the city, but she was telling me how how the city allowed this guy, he was stealing money, to resign. I said, where they do that at? Man, if I go steal on my job, I'm getting fired immediately. Amen. They cutting everything off. They're going to walk in, going to say, hand me your badge, and we're going to walk you out the door. How come, see, in Satan's world, in this rule, certain men and women have, they're allowed to get away with things because of who they are. There are judges and police officers and attorneys doing
yes,
wicked and evil stuff. And not
evil
just
stuff.
Them, everyday people doing evil and wicked
Ooh.
Stuff. But because Ooh. Of their Ooh. Name, because of how much money they got in the bank. They get a pass. They get the getaway. Lying and cheating on the time. She, my wife told me the other day, a young lady that she works with at the office, just lying on a time sheet. And they ain't fired her yet. I said, Lord, how much? Let that be one of us. The girl leaves 4 or 5 hours early. I don't understand. How in the world can you cheat a company out of 4 or 5 hours almost every day?
Lord,
she leave early. When the other people leave, when the big people leave the office, she leave the office right behind them. And certain people, she say no, she leave it. But she put a full 40-plus hours on her time sheet. I said, Lord, have mercy. And one of the other ladies in the office said she's so sick and tired of it, she's going to go to hire people in the city to get this girl fired. I said, now that's sad. But this type of stuff go on every day in the world, all over the planet. People doing evil, wrongs. Like I said, it ain't just sexual sin. It ain't just sin that people are laying down committing. People are behind the scene lying and cheat. I remember a long time ago, somebody told me when I used to work for Citibank about this lady that she was a high position in the company, GE. And she was getting food stamps. I said, now she wrong. How in the world are you making all this money, six figures, and you get food stamps? But you know that's not an uncommon. Folks are stealing. People know. I've known people to get their child support removed. How is it fair that you know somebody works at a child support office and they go in the system and erase your child support and say that you called up and paid up? Come on. There's so much evil and sin and wickedness going on, and it ain't got nothing to do with somebody laying down or laying down with somebody or something. There's so much evil people you got over. Man, I didn't see it and just shake my head. And I said, Lord, look at this. I remember this young lady told me about this guy, about what he did. He got a position in the company. And he tried to erase all the data in this department. Man, I'm telling you, some of the stuff would just get some folks probably almost put in prison, but they didn't fire the guy. Because I'm going to tell you right now, because of COVID skin, he wasn't fired. We couldn't understand how this guy, I'm talking about for what he did, he definitely should have been fired. But they allowed him to go to another department, get another job within the company, wasn't fired. I'm just talking about, it ain't just got nothing to do with skin color, but I'm just saying. This is the type of stuff that go on in the world, and people just ignore some people. But what I'm saying that to simply say this: there are people since the beginning of time that have done evil, wicked things. Again, they ain't got nothing to do with laying down with nobody, amen. But have done unspeakable things, have gotten away with it in this life. There are people become rich. Look at all the slave owners. Amen. Let's just tell the truth. That folks have stole. Amen. I remember seeing a documentary on Tulsa back in 1920 where they murdered and killed all the people, took their money, took their possessions, took their land, took their money, took their, and then they just went and so basically, took their businesses, made it their own, and now they didn't pass it on to their kids, and their kids is living good. How's that
right? Come on.
Hey. This is the type of stuff that's been going on since the rule of Satan. That's certain from his life. People have murdered people, killed people. I'm talking about people you would never imagine. I'm talking about all the way from people who are in top leadership of countries, kings, queens, presidents, regencies, bishops. People have murdered people, murdered nations of people, murdered children. Know that people are being kidnapped and murdered and raped and everything, just getting away. And they live a full life and pass on the wealth for generations to their kids. And the kids grow up, go off to college like they just innocent, like they ain't never did nothing wrong. But the parents did all kind of evil, dirty, conniving stuff behind hands, just full of blood.
Come on.
They live a good life and then die and go to the grave and never held accountable. This is why Christ had to come.
Come on, preacher.
Eternity had to intervene into time. And what I was studying today, I'm just going to touch a little bit on it. amen, on eternity. But I'm going to get back to the fig. I got some time. The brother, give me some time. I'm going to talk about the fig here in a little bit. Amen. But what I want to talk about is eternal life. I'm going to share a little bit of it with you. I've always seen over in St. John, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, it says eternal life and everlasting life. I've always seen those two different words, but I always thought that they were synonymous. Now, they are synonymous to an extent, but when you do deeper study, amen, you begin to understand why they're two different words, amen. And my brother brought it to my attention. I've always seen it. And I said, well, maybe it's the same thing, but then I just kind of ignored it. But he told me the other week, he said, everlasting life and eternal life are two different things. I said, huh. So if you begin, I begin to study on it, I'm looking into it. And it is, amen, the representation of what you will receive, what Christ is going to give us as the believers. Man, is mind-blowing. I'm just going to share this a little bit with you. When Christ returns, well, first of all, when you become saved in the present. Eternal life does not start when I die. It does for as far as my physicality and my spirituality and my rewards. Yes, that is true. But I receive eternal life in the now, in this life. Amen. Because Christ intervened, amen, from eternity into time now. He came down from heaven. And what I'm saying to you is the sacrifice that Christ made was so powerful, so ultimate that we still can't wrap our mind around it. What I'm saying to you, amen, we can't wrap our mind around what Christ did for us. See, what people don't understand was there was something on the line when Christ came down from eternity into time. For one, he was subject to fail. Most people don't even consider that, but that's a fact. See, if it wasn't possible for Christ to fail, do you think Satan would have went through all that what he went through to try to stop Christ from coming? And when he got here, did all that he could to make him sin, but couldn't get him to sin? We talked about this, amen, last weekend, past Sunday. It was a possibility that Christ could fail. This is why Satan threw all that he had at Christ, because it was possible. Satan believed that he had a chance. Now the number that he had was almost impossible for him to get Christ to fail, but he knew that there was a chance that he could get Christ to fail. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't get Christ to fail. Amen.
Come on.
Because what Christ sacrificed, when he came from eternity, remember he was born of the Spirit. He wasn't born of the flesh. He wasn't born of man. He was born of the Spirit. So he was not, born in sin. Amen.
Come on.
So he knew no sin. Amen. But he was still subject to sin. Hopefully you got that. Amen. So I'm saying to you is what he was bringing you, amen, he was going to change how we was born. We was born in the sin, meaning it wasn't our fault. Amen. But God had promised Adam something in the garden. Adam, I'm going to give your family. Amen. I'm going to give your family, which is mankind, all the entire race of mankind. See, God can give eternal life. He can give you a gift, but it's up to us to receive and accept the gift. Part of with a gift for you with your name on it, it's up to you to receive the gift. Amen?
Yes, sir.
This is what Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 7 is about. I did a sermon on that. Amen. Because I remember a preacher tried to tell me, based on them verses, that man can lose his salvation. I said, bro, that's not what that verse, that's not what that context is saying. It's not saying at all. Again, it's Hebrew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through, I believe it's 1 through 6. And one day I'll come back and talk about it. But for the sake of time tonight, what I'm trying to bring to your attention is what all Christ did, the grand sacrifice that he made to save you and I from everlasting damnation. The brother just said it. Man, when he said that, I was like, Lord, look at here. Look what he's saying. Well, I ain't talking to him about what I'm talking to you about tonight. I just told the brother today that I'm studying, but he didn't know what I was studying about. Amen. But
amen.
Christ came to give you life and life more abundant. I've always heard that saying, and I've always wondered. I knew it had something to do with eternal life. But amen. In studying it today, I begin to understand when we say that Christ comes to give you life and give you life more abundant. In other words, he's come to give you a new life on earth. Amen. And a new life eternally, meaning that everlasting life is an ongoing thing. And I got some scriptures, amen. And I'm going to see if I can get into it a little bit. But, amen, what I'm going to do, because I don't want to spend too much time, let me talk about the lesson of the fig tree first. And then we're going to come back and talk about eternal life, amen, and why people, and I have to say this real quick. Anybody that teach that you can lose or fall from salvation. I know we keep going over this, but we have to because some people don't get it. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, I have to say this. You have no clue on what salvation is. You don't even know what salvation is. You don't even know the sacrifice that Christ made to come to earth to save your soul, to redeem you.
Come
Amen.
On.
You don't even know the sacrifice that he made. Because when he did it, he said, I just need to do this one time, and that's it. And all you need to receive salvation is one time. That was the conversation between Nicodemus and Christ. Amen. Can a man be born of his mother's womb a second time? No. No, Nicodemus. He cannot. Man only comes through his mother's womb how many times? One time. How many times do you need to save Christ? One time. It's not possible for a man to come out of his mother's womb a second time. Once that baby comes out of his mother's womb, it is impossible for him to be reborn again. Now, get this. At that time, that moment that he comes out, if it's not possible for him to be reborn again after he exits, the second that the child come out, any time after that, it is even far more impossible. Why? Because the baby is growing. The baby is now in a different stage of his life. So it's impossible for that baby to be reborn again. It's the same thing with belief. You don't need be reborn again. It's impossible to be reborn again because it's not necessary. Amen.
Come on,
because that was the purpose of Christ going to the cross, dying for your sins. Christ doesn't need to die for your sins again. Amen. The Bible talks about that. There's no need for it. So if a person said you can lose your salvation, they have no understanding of what the sacrifice that Christ made. They have no clue what salvation is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to read, back to the lesson of the fig tree. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 32. Now learn a parable. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. This is Christ.
Yeah.
So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, there it is. Know that it is near, even at the door. Lord have mercy. We're not trying to predict the date and the day and the hour when Christ returns. We're simply watching the time and the what?
Seasons.
To let you know. Christ just said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Christ said, be aware of what times that you live in. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about gas prices going up. I have to live in it. I don't have to worry about food shortages. I have to live in it. I don't have to worry about the war in Ukraine and Russia and what Putin is trying to do and how the world is about to be plundered into World War III. That I don't have to live in because before that happens, what's going to happen? Christ is going to gather together the saints. This is part of salvation. People don't understand salvation. Salvation is what delivers. Christ is going to deliver the church from what? The great tribulation. The same preachers and pastors and the people out in the world that will tell you that the church is going to go through the tribulation, I guarantee you are the same people who will tell you that you can lose your salvation. You want to know why?
Come on.
Because they have no clue what salvation is. They don't understand the purpose of Christ coming to redeem man.
Come on.
Christ came to redeem us.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
To deliver us from what? Judgments and punishment. Lord, how?
Yeah.
I tell you, if you don't understand salvation, you don't understand the Bible. You got to understand why eternity came into time. Why did Christ make the ultimate sacrifice? Christ was comfortable in heaven. He was doing good. He didn't need to come down and put on this body. He didn't need to come on and be whipped and beat on his back and skin pull off almost to the bone. He didn't need folks.
Come on,
boy. Man, we deal with so much every day, so much persecution as believers every day. We have to take people, stuff from people and just shut our mouth and go on. I tell you right now, brother, the worst thing is this, is the for a believer to do, the hardest thing is to swallow your pride. Let somebody insult you and walk away. But we have to deal with it. We have to be the bigger man or woman all the time. People do this and try to do that. We just look at folks and just shake our heads and say, Lord, help them. Lord, bless them.
Come on.
They don't know no better. For Lord, they know not what they do. Like Christ said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what you have to say when you're in traffic or when you see folks acting crazy and talking crazy to you. Lord, forgive them, for they know what not they do. You have to tell yourself that and keep going. We have to be the bigger person all the time as the children of God.
Come on. Come
Amen.
On, preacher.
Amen. Amen. But I'm showing you why we talk about these things, why we say we believe this year the church will be out of here. Again, don't go back and tell nobody that we're trying to predict return of Christ. We're not doing that. We are simply showing you and telling you what Christ said. Now, if you don't understand the lesson of the fig tree, something is wrong. Watch what verse 34 says. It says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be what? Fulfilled. Heaven and pass away. But watch this. But my words shall not pass away. Christ, God's word is everlasting. Christ is what? He was sending a warning from 2,000 years ago to warn the future generation of what?
Yeah.
Of his return. He's coming back. Yes, we know it's unknown, but get ready. Get ready because the signs of the season. Just as sure as he said, when his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is coming.
Yeah.
Man, don't you know that the branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, that the day and time that we live in and that summer is coming? Don't you know that Christ is coming back? Don't you know that the church is getting ready to go home? Don't you know that you should be paying attention? This war that's going on right now, we're about to hit World War III. This man has already said if anybody get involved, it's going. So what you think if he fired nuke, what you think the rest of the world going to do?
Come on.
The world in World War III. This man is already sworn. And you think China ain't behind? China's been, man, China has been in the gym for the past 40 years. Oh, China is ready for war. They got the biggest manned army on the face of this planet. And you think they don't want to get in this? They are ready for the West. They are ready for the United States. And just like that American retired naval general said, he said, man, we better be careful. We've been talking and saying this and flexing our muscle for the past however many years. China is ready for us. And he said this, and he's a retired general. And he said,
come on,
that the worst thing that we could do is get into a war with China. He said, it's not going to be good.
No, sir. No, sir.
You can best believe there's going to be great casualties. It ain't going to wipe out the planet because God's not going to allow that. That's not going to happen. That's when the man of sin, the son of perdition is going to come on the scene, and he's going to smooth things out. But you can best believe if they fire a missile, if one country fired a nuke, it ain't going to be nice.
No.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
So I'm just saying, but there will be war. There will be a World War III. Now, to what extent, we don't know. We won't even be here. We'll be in heaven looking down, but we don't know what extent it's going to go to, but it's not going to be good. There will be casualties.
Come on.
We don't know. But remember, it's going to be in the Great Tribulation. It's going to be some casualties. It's not going to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But I had to share the lesson of the fig tree. Because why? Amen. Christ is telling you, amen. He's telling his disciples that no one knew the exact day or the hour is coming.
Yeah.
Amen. But except who? The Heavenly Father. Amen. We're not
trying
to calculate his return like you may think, but we are just simply telling you, based on the branches that are tender and the leaves that are coming forth, that summer's not. We're getting close. We're getting very, and we just happen to believe, amen, it's this year. We could be wrong. We don't, but I don't know. I don't believe we are. I believe we're more right than wrong. Amen. But I believe we are definitely close. Amen. We are close. As the scripture said, as Christ said, or what? We are at the door. Know that it is near. Amen. When you see all these things, it is near, even at the door.
At the door.
We can't ignore this, church. We've been talking about this for the past 2.5 years. You can't ignore this. It's just too many things that's going on in the world that mirror the Great Tribulation. And that's usually how things are. When you see it, it usually happens. What happened with Ukraine and Russia? We saw it coming. We're like, oh, this is war. When we saw Putin at this day, when we saw the pandemic and the mask mandate and the vaccine mandate, we like, we ain't never heard this. When have the governments of the world, which is really under the rule of Satan, Babylon, that's Babylon, all the nations of the world, because they serve Satan. Don't think they don't. They all of them do. I used to think that too. Oh, no, America don't serve Satan. Oh, no, sure, the African governments don't serve Satan. Oh, no, the European governments. They all serve. Satan is the ruler of this world. When Adam fell in the garden, he handed over the paperwork, the rulership to who? Lucifer, the fallen angel.
Come on.
Now, amen. Yes, now Lucifer rules this world. And all of the governments, Lucifer said, if you want money in your good, you want your people, your race to live and survive and to strive in this, give me some bodies. Why do you think so many wars go? That's human sacrifice. You don't never see.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that after there's great sacrifice, the nations do good, the economy go up, the economy. That's called a sacrifice. Just like people do human sacrifices in Hollywood, they sacrifice their family members, they become rich. All of a sudden, they got millions of dollars. Countries and governments do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you see all these folks, look at every nation. Any nation that when they go to the next level, there's bodies. There's millions of people die. Look at America. Look at slavery. Look at all the people for 400 years. That's a human sacrifice. They're giving Satan souls. Those who don't believe, those who don't receive. Look at all the wars, all the genocide, all the plans. I didn't know that Russia had millions of people, had a genocide, millions of people. China, Asia had millions of people genocide. Back in the early 1930s, I didn't know that. I was doing some research.
Yes,
I'm like, what? Never knew that. Never knew that until recently.
Come on, preacher.
Satan is the ruler of this world. Don't you think otherwise.
Yeah.
Babylon ain't just America. Babylon ain't just you. People say, oh, it's America. It's the world. It's the whore that sitteth on many waters that has what?
Yeah.
Caused the whole world to be drunk. Human sacrifice. Kidnapping kids, molesting kids, raping kids behind the scenes, stealing money, dirty, evil work. The banks are lying and stealing money, taking money from the people, taking stuff from people, kidnapping people, organ harvesting. Amen.
Come on.
Brother, I don't know if you got my message the other day. I sent you a message. I'm going to get ready to turn it over to you. I sent you a message the other day about a show. It's a little show on Netflix. My kids introduced this to me. It's called Inside Job. It's a little show, a little cartoon show. It's called Inside Job. Look and watch it. And this it's about the stuff that's going on in the world. It's about the Illuminati. It's about all this stuff, the world governments, and how they serve the devil and the shadow government, and how there's been a brotherhood since the beginning. It's amazing that they show this stuff. I said, man, look here, they show this stuff. They so bold with it, and they just put it right in our face, and people still ignore it. This stuff is real, man. This stuff is real. Amen. But I'm going to get ready to turn over to you. There's a lot more that I want to say, but I want to share that.
Right.
Amen. The lesson of the fig tree. Brother, go ahead, and when I come back, I'll try to touch a little bit on this eternity thing and this salvation thing. Go ahead, Doctor.
Amen. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Praise God. We thank God for that word of the Lord. He has known that salvation, the awesome sacrifice, that Jesus Christ. People don't understand, just like he was saying, the intensity and the death of Jesus Christ was no small matter. This was serious. This was so serious that it shook hell up. It was so serious that the angels in heaven had to prune their wings. They couldn't understand why would their creator sacrifice himself. Why did God manifest himself in the flesh, came down here and died as a man, God man? You can't kill God. And what the world don't understand, that's the most unique sacrifice that was ever made through eternity. Ain't nothing else no greater than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because they just didn't whip him lightly. They stripped his flesh from his body. They could see his sinews, that's his muscles. When they whipped him on the back 39 times, they didn't whip him with no little old twig. They used a thing called a scorpion with metal and glass in it. You had seven lead leeches on it, and they whipped him until his back was opened up, and you could see some of his bones. They nailed him. They spit upon him. They took his beard and plucked it out of him. They disfigured his face. I mean, this is salvation now. This is the only way God, this is the only way God could bring man back to himself. That unique sacrifice that he done, hung on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He hung. Oh, did he hang? And he said seven quotations on the cross. And his last quotation said, "It is finished. It's done. Ain't nothing you can add. Ain't nothing you can take away. I done sealed it with my blood. I done shed my blood. And since I shed my blood, it wasn't the blood of a man. It wasn't the blood of animals. It wasn't the blood of nobody but God's blood. And God's blood is holy." Woo! God's blood is so holy that the devil trembles. He start walking bow-legged when he gets close to that blood. His mind began to lose his mind when he come close to that blood. That's why people today are not preaching the gospel and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You don't hear too many preachers lifting up Jesus Christ as a Messiah and the shed one, the one that shed his blood on Calvary's cross. More people are preaching and talking more about lectures, motivation speeches, all kind of ways that you can attain God and reach God. And there's only one way you can reach God. One way, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, doctor, lawyer, professional football player, professional basketball player. I don't care what your status quo is. there is only one way a man can be pleasing to God, and that is to accept his son, Jesus Christ. And when we say living in the last days, that means we're living in the last hour, minute, before the close of this age, the end of the age. What you mean end of age? The end of Satan, the end of sin, the end of killing, the end of murdering, the end of lying, the end of false religions. Oh, my God, the end of everything that Satan has put up on this earth. And he's got a bag full of it. He's got a whole lot of junk that people are sucking it up. They're believing it. They're accepting it. And what we got? We got the end time now. We're living in the verse close of the end of the age. The brother brought up the fig tree. The fig tree represents also Israel. Jesus Christ said, when you see the fig leaf bud, you know that summer is not. He also referring to when you see Israel bud, when you see Israel coming back on the scene. Because let me tell you something. Israel was off the scene for 2,600 years. Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth. They was in every continent, every country, every hamlet, and they didn't have no way to even bring Judaism back. They had no way to understand what was written in the Torah until it came back. And the first time and the first sign that saying that Jesus Christ is coming back soon was when Jews came back to be a nation, May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation for the first time over 2,600 years. And Jesus Christ already mentioned it. He said, I can't come back until Israel is back in the land. Guess what? Israel's been back in the land. Israel's been back in the land almost a generation. What is a generation? 80 years. 80 years is a generation. From 1948 to 2029 is what? 80 years. 80 years that Israel has been existing. And Jesus cannot come back until Israel is back in the land. And when they come back in the land, guess what's going to happen? The Bible says in the book of Joel, in the book of Zechariah, when the nations see that the Jews are coming back in the land, they are going to gather around the city of Jerusalem and try to destroy the Jewish people because the devil, the devil, Satan, hates the Jew. You don't know. You get it over. Satan hates the Jew. Why do he hate the Jew? He hates the Jew because the Jews are the people that God called through Abraham. And from Abraham, we get the 12 tribes. From the 12 tribes, we get the tribe of Judah in which the Messiah will come. Oh, my God. The devil knows that Jesus Christ comes from the tribe of Judah. He knew he was going to come. That's why he tried to block the seed of Abraham. He tried to block the seed of Jacob. He tried to block the seed of all those patriarchs that came down because he knew. Old Herod knew when he killed all the firstborns, when Jesus was born, he killed all the firstborns in Jerusalem and wiped them out because he wanted to get Jesus, and he missed it because Jesus, Mary, and Joseph went to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died. Then they came back. Why? Because the devil knows without a shadow of a doubt that if he could get rid of Christ and stop him from coming, he's got the whole world in his hand. But he thought he had Jesus Christ up until when? He said, I got him. I done killed him. Now, I don't know. I don't think he's going to get up. I don't believe he's going to get up because I've kept Abraham in the grave. I kept all those patriarchs in the grave. They didn't get up. But let me tell you, he didn't know who he was messing with until the third day morning when Christ got up from the grave. When he got up from the grave, he went bow-legged. He was a paraplegic, and he's a paraplegic today. And what is he doing? He's destroying people's lives. He's destroying people's lives. And he said, if I can keep you away from the cross of Christ, keep you away from his blood, keep away from his love, I got your soul. That's what the devil wants. He wants your soul. And if he can get that soul to reject Christ, reject Christ, and you die without accepting Jesus Christ, please listen to me. I love you out there. I love every one of you that's listening. If you reject Jesus Christ and don't repent of your sin and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you would die tonight without Christ, I'll guarantee you through the word of your eyes in hell, not because you was bad, not because you you smoked, not because you drank, not because you got a sex problem, but because you rejected to repent of your sin and come to Christ. Because it's not by works of righteousness that you can do, because your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's the righteousness of Christ. That's why Christ came and died to do what? Take your place. Uh-oh. Take your place. If Christ wouldn't have died, you couldn't have died for your sins. And if you would have tried to die for your sins, that's where you... I bet you couldn't even get to the Garden of Gethsemane. I bet some people would look towards the Garden of Gethsemane and say, no, man, I can't go there. Man, look what them folks going to do to me. I can't go. I would. No, you can wish you could go, but you can't take that pain. You can't take that agony. You can't take that sin. And if you die for yourself, most likely, somebody else will say, hey, man, can you die for me? No, I can't die for you. No. I'm going to tell you right now, I love everybody, but I ain't going to die for your sins. I can't, because I got sins of my own. And guess who I gave them to? I gave them to Christ. I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's what the world don't want to do, because we got two kind of churches on the earth today. We got the false church, and we got the true church. And the false church is infiltrating the true church. And the true church is not standing up against sin. True church, amen, look like the world, and the world is doing things that the church won't do, and the church doing things that the world ain't doing. So look, God said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. Don't you try to separate it. He said, there's a day coming when God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. That's why Jesus said, many shall come in my name, saying, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? Have we cast out devils? Lord, we don't have conventions. We doing all kind of dancing. We jumping up and down. We going to all kinds of recreation, and we just having fun. Oh, yeah, Lord, I know we got a place in heaven. And the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquities. I don't even know you. You ain't in the book. Woo! Do you know tonight your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you don't know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you got a problem. Because let me tell you, you can know without a shadow of a doubt if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know why I say that? Because I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know why? Because not what I do, not how good I am, not how fancy I can talk, not my education. It's because of the grace of God. It's the love of God. It's the mercy of God. It's God all by himself loving me. And he loves you too. He loves you too. But one thing he don't love, he don't love the sin that's in you. And the only thing that can take that sin out of you is the blood of Christ. Woo! Jesus only had 2.5 gallons of blood in his body. That's how much a man has. An average man has 2.5 gallons in his body. And he, guess what? He shed every bit of it on Calvary. He shed every bit of it. But this generation now is almost at an end. This generation comes at an end in 2029. That's it. Ain't nothing after that. That's the time. And 2029, guess what has to happen in between 2022 and 2029? The tribulation period has to happen. between 2022 and 2029. When the rapture of the church has to happen? It has to happen before the tribulation can start. What else has to happen? The Antichrist has to be alive today at full grown age. The Antichrist has to be a full grown man, because the world leaders today have looked for a leader for the last 2,000 years. They are tired of Obama. They're tired of Bushes. They're tired of Kennedys. They're tired of all these. They're tired of world leaders on the other side of the world. They're tired. And they're saying, whoever come next, I know he's going to be a dynamite man. And he's going to be a Satanist. He's going to be a man. He's going to be a king. He's going to be a ruler of a country. And Brother Daniel broke it down. Seventh chapter of Daniel, he said, I saw 10 horns, 10 crowns, 10 kings. And I saw 10 toes. And the toes means last day. And he said, if I saw these 10 toes, now you got to get a hold of this now. Because you ain't going to get this in church. This is a quick teaching. The 10 toes represent the 10 European common market nations, which is NATO today. NATO, 10 toes. Oh, the 10 horns is NATO. The 10 kings, which represent kingdom. The 10 crowns, which represent authority. And there's a man coming. There's a man already here on earth waiting. Born in 1968. Oh, let me tell you, I studied my Bible. I'm going to let you know. I know what I'm talking about because I've been studying it on for a long time. I followed this man all the way up from 1976. And then she said the 10 toes. Well, Daniel said after he got the 10 toes, he said, wait a minute, I see 10 horns. 10 horns represent power, the 10 European common market nations. Ooh, listen, these nations exist today. I'm going to name them for you. King 48, Denmark came. That's the first horn. Britain came in 1948. Ireland came in 1940s. That's three horns. Netherlands came in 1952. Belgium came in 1952. Luxembourg came in 1950. That's three more. That's six horns. In 1973, West Germany came. 1973, France came. 1973, Italy came. That's nine nations. And in 1981, Greece came in. That's 10 horns. And then Daniel said, after I saw these 10 horns, I saw another little horn. Now, this is Bible, honey. Ain't no use the devil talking about, oh, where you get that at? How you know that? Because I'm revealing to the world exactly where the Antichrist is going to come from. In 1981, Greece was already here. And in 1986, 6 years later, and in the book of Daniel, he said, I saw another little horn, and this horn had eyes like a man, and had a mouth to speak great things against the Most High. And this was one of the least nations. Amen. It was a weak nation, but it became strong. And the world is saying now, what nation is the 11th horn? Daniel saw this. And when Daniel saw this, he got sick. He couldn't understand it. He was mesmerized. He was saying, wow, I'm seeing 2022. He was looking at 2,600 years over 2022. He saw what? This little horn came up, and guess what? The little horn came up in 1986. And that little horn is known as the 11th horn. Spain has the man that has eyes and a great mouth. They spoke great things against the Almighty God. This is the Antichrist nation. And his name, his name is what? His name is King Felipe of Spain. Where does Spain come from? Spain come from Esau. Where did Jacob come from? Jacob brought forth the 12 tribes. Woo! So Spanish people and what? And Jewish people are brothers because they came out the same womb. Good God Almighty. And so the Antichrist will be Gentile and Jewish mixed. And this man will be a gorgeous, a debonair, clean as the board of hell. Woo! Sharp. So sharp, if you were touching, you'll cut yourself. He's going to come on the scene pretty soon. And the world is waiting. America is waiting. China is waiting. The nations of the world is waiting for this great deception that's going to fool majority of the world. And I'm getting ready to get over to the brother about 5 minutes. This Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene, cannot come on the scene until the body of Jesus Christ, the church that was purchased with his own blood, be transmitted in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise. And the brother Bazaar is going to be changed in a moment. Brother Tim going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when I be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, whoever's left here, amen, if they ever heard me, if they ever seen me, if they ever talked to me, they're going to ask the question, where did he go? Where did Brother Tim go? Woo, good God Almighty. Why? Because the ones that have witnessed out here and got out here and told somebody about Jesus and preaching the gospel, I guarantee you, if they're real, amen, if they're authentic and the Lord knows them and they know the Lord and been filled with the Holy Ghost and telling people the love of Jesus Christ, guess what? When they're gone, they're going to miss them and they're going to hear what they say. So let me tell you, you can leave a witness here before you go. And that's what we and Brother Tim are doing, leaving a witness. Because one day, soon and very soon, you ain't going to hear my voice. Ooh, now I'm saying, you crazy, man. You talking that old weird stuff. I think you need to get on something. I say, yeah, I'm high all right. I'm high on Jesus. I'm high on him. I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. So what I'm saying, it's getting close, my friends. This war that's coming up is going to make a buildup up to September. And when September comes, you better get ready. Woo-wee, you better get yourself ready. Because all the laughing, all the denying, is going to change your looks, going to change your way. Because the world is getting ready. The rich folks are getting ready to build. Oh, they're already building. They're building bunkers. They got all kind of bunkers now. They getting money ready. They getting the food ready. Folks are worried about the economy,
right?
Because the economy is going to fall. The religious order going to fall. The false church going to rise. And all this woman had in her cup. She had a golden cup in her hand. And the Bible said, it was filled with filthiness and abomination of the earth. All the abominations you see that people are doing. Where people are using animals for sex, they're using their mama, their daddy, their sister, they're using false preachers are getting in the pulpit, taking boys in the back room, punking them out, coming back on the pulpit, talking about glory be to God, you are a lying wonder. You are fake Christian.
Come on, doctor.
You call yourself a Christian. Well, Jesus Christ, who was not a Christian, he's a Savior, and he brought Christianity into existence by his shed blood on Calvary's cross. And here you are talking about you living like the devil. You old raw head. You've been fooled. You've been duped. You better get up and turn around and fall on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm sorry for the way I was thinking about you. I'm not going to carry your name like that. They're trying to slander Christ, and the devil's trying to misinterpret Christ, who he was. He was a son of God. He was God in the flesh. And
Amen.
Jesus Christ was God Almighty. And he didn't walk around there holding men's hand and going around kissing on folks. Ooh, I know he probably kissed me, but Judas kissed me, but it was a fake one. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Psalms, kiss the son, he'd be angry. And that's not a physical kiss. That's the kissing of being repentant and turning from your sins and let your spirit kiss his spirit. Ooh, so you can be saved. That's what that is. Ooh, get it in the right stanza. Because let me tell you, this false church is ruling the planet right now. The true church, nobody don't want it. Very few people want to be true anymore because most folks say it's hypocrite. They're hypocrites. You cannot live for God and live for the devil. God knows your heart. He knows your down city. He knows everything about you. Don't come around me Amen. Talking about you love the Lord and you hate your sister sitting next to you. You won't even speak to her. You call yourself a saint of God and you got your nose up in the air so high that if it would rain the frowns in your face, you could hold a gallon of water. And you talking about you love God. Let me tell you, there's joy in Jesus Christ. There's peace in Jesus Christ. There's love in Jesus Christ. There's understanding in Jesus. There's compassion in Jesus Christ. There's concern about Jesus Christ. And if you ain't concerned about people's souls, woo, you ain't got nothing. I'm concerned about your soul. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you miss it, it'll be your fault. Because I sure tell you the truth. There is a hell. Lord, have mercy. There is a hell. And I don't have to have dreams. I don't have to have no vision. But I'm going to tell you right now, I had enough witnesses. When the rich man died and the beggar died, they tell me, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell.
That's right.
And asked for water. And that means an unregenerated man went to hell. And if you unregenerated tonight, listen to what I got to say. If you unregenerated tonight, please don't go to bed without confessing Christ tonight. Those that's listening at me tonight, don't go to bed without confessing Christ tonight. The Bible says, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. It says, turn from your unbelief. Turn from your questioning Jesus Christ to try to decide who he is. Don't decide who he is. Believe who he is. He is a son of God. He is a sacrificial one that died on Calvary's cross for your sin. And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, thou shalt be saved wherever you are. If you in your room, if you in your car, wherever you are, you can confess him tonight and receive Jesus Christ. And after you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord will lead you. He'll lead you. Lord will lead you to be baptized in water. In water. In what name? In the name of Jesus. And a lot of people say, if you go in the name of Jesus, you can't go to heaven. That's a lie. Jesus Christ said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and go into the world and preach to every creature, teaching them and preaching them. There ain't number one baptism. Jesus Christ, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. What's your problem? Amen. You're trying to make it difficult. It's simple. Confess is the most important.
Amen.
On the cross, never saw no water. He never went down in Jesus' name. Where did he go? He said, Lord, remember me in paradise. Jesus said, hey, man, come on in. I'll meet you there. I'm going to close like this. Listen to this. What you going to do during the tribulation period? You ain't going to have time to be baptized in the tribulation period. When the mark of the beast comes and the devil, through the Antichrist, he's going to be resurrected. He's going to start a marking system that's called the mark of the beast. He said, if you receive the mark on your right hand or on your forehead, your soul is damned because you have rejected.
That's right. Come on.
You ain't going to have time to be baptized. You ain't going to have time to have church service. You ain't going to have time to have your consecration or anything. It's believing who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. And go on, because if you get saved, you're going to have to go through the great tribulation. And that's going to make all your life. My friends, whatever you do, don't deny the word of God that you have heard tonight. Don't deny it. Don't reject it. The main thing is don't reject the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let him come into your life. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Brother, go ahead.
Amen. 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 That was awesome, man. That's some heavy stuff, man. I like the way you broke down, amen, the fig tree. Amen. And, man, those bunkers, brother, that's real, man. A lot of folks don't think that's real. A lot of people think that we making that up. The rich. They have a club. And I don't know if anybody remembers the movie that came out. I think it was called 2012. It was a movie that came out about the cataclysms that was happening to the earth. And basically they were saying that this age was about to end and a new age was about to begin. Well, basically all they're saying is that basically they're referencing the tribulation, and that they're saying that the people who have money are going to be the only ones going to be able to escape and to live through it. But they're lying to the people who are rich. They're not going to escape. They'll be able to survive majority of it, but no, they won't make it. Amen. That's why it says, who shall be able to stand? They're going to cry out to the rocks. Amen. And the mountain fall on us and hide us from him that sat upon the throne. Amen. Yeah, that movie, I believe that movie is called 2012. I'll never forget that movie. And that movie is a reference, amen, to what's to come. And a lot of times people don't see these movies, but, man, that's some heavy, heavy, deep stuff.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen, brother. And people need to realize that this is real. These guillotines is real. These mass graves is real. They got these buildings prepared, amen, for the people, the whole of people. They storing up food, but again, it's supposed to be for those who are wealthy, amen. That's who it's supposed to be for them, because the wealthy people are going to be the least affected starting off in this tribulation, because they're going to be able to go off to certain places because they have money. And I used to always wonder, I said, man, why these people, they got so much money, but yet they are steady trying to make more money. And they got these bunkers, man, you ought to see them. You go on YouTube, you can see, they got, man, people are building them like in the backyard and in different places. It's like, they're like, literally like houses is what they are. Excuse me. And you can like hardly tell that's what's on the ground, because at first it's like a little storage building, like where they enter. Kind of like a storm cellar type thing. You know about the storm cellar, like in the ground. The old storm cellar, you can see it like laying on the ground. But they kind of like storages. But when you go into them and go down, it's kind of like you go down and it's basically like a house under the earth. Man, these folks is from. Now, this is the folks who got money. That's why these folks got billions and millions. That they are selling these folks on, hey, you got to get more money. You got to get your money up so you can make more money so you can prepare for what's coming. See, they have an idea. See, the rich, the so-called elite, the people in Hollywood that got money, the millionaires, the Bill Gates, and Jeff Bezos of the world, and whoever is rich and wealthy, they know what's about to come. They know.
Come on.
So you think if they ain't aware what's coming, we ain't supposed to know what's coming. We're God's children. We're warning you, telling you what's coming. Now, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we know that the hour is near. We've already showed you scriptures time and time again. Get ready, because our Lord and Savior is about to see the church ain't got nothing to worry about. But warn your family, warn your friends, you know, your loved ones, man, folks out here partying, going on, drinking and partying. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the return of the Son of Man. People gonna be giving in marriage, partying, sleeping together. Oh, man, it ain't going to happen. We've been hearing about that. Man, I got a family member right there. He loved to say, oh, man, we've been hearing about that for years. That ain't going to happen. I've been hearing about that since I was a kid. I'm like, okay, brother. All right. Okay, I hope you got it right, brother. That's all I can tell. I hope you get it right before it's too late. Amen, because, you know, we don't want nobody to be lost. Like the brother said, man, we love and I love each and every one of you. I know Elder Bazaar love each and every one of you. And we don't want nobody to be saying, man, don't go through this. If you ain't got to be here, I mean, it amazes me some of the stuff some of these preachers are telling their members. Oh, you got to buy guns. Oh, you got to buy, make sure you got enough store up, enough food. What in the world are you telling? Oh, we got to buy. It's going to be a trying time for the saints. What are we telling people? What do you mean? It's going to be a trying time for the saints, because the saints are going to be in heaven. It's going to be a trying time for you all who don't really believe. that's down here playing and don't know how to interpret the Bible, it's going to be a trying time for you for sure. Because you thought you were going, because you thought that you were saved or you were playing whatever you was doing, amen. Then you talking about you gonna be able to weather the storm. You cannot weather this storm.
No,
we said this time and time again. You cannot prepare for the great tribulation. It is impossible. Only the rich and elite will have a head start, and they will be able to go further. Because, number one, they have the money. They have the influence. They're going to be able to go further, to go to bunkers and places underground. They're actually underground cities that the government's been building for years. Where do you think these people are going to go when all this stuff hit the planet?
Come on.
The other billions of people, the poor, are going to be wiped out. Oh, they got food stored up for the rich. Gee, it's only so many
exactly.
rich people. You talk about what, 1%, 5% of the world? Yeah. There's enough food and stuff to help them to almost make it through that 7 years for that 5%. You're only talking about a very small number of people on the planet. 5%, you're probably talking about maybe millions of people who got money. Maybe, probably not even that many people, but maybe millions. I don't know how many people, but, yeah, they'll be able to survive, their family, their close loved ones, because of who they are. They only take so many people, though. They're going to be able to make it so far. And until it becomes spiritual. And it's going to hit that last 3.5 years. See, those folks who are going to receive that mark on their forehead, man, when the demons come on the earth, see, that's the part that they don't anticipate.
Come on now.
You can't run from a demon. So when he's able to come up, when God is going to allow those demons to come up out the pits of hell.
Come on.
You have all the money in the world. You have all the influence in the world. I don't care what your title is. I don't care where you attempt to hide. Them demons going to get you. They're going to get you. So when Christ's judgment, when there ain't no water to drink, I don't care how rich you are, it's going to touch you. When there's no more crops can grow, when you can't get no more vegetables and food, it's going to touch you. Amen. It's going to get through you. Trust me. This revelation, tribulation, is going to touch every soul on the planet that rejects God.
On the planet.
Amen. Amen, brother. I don't care how so-called elite you want to be, how so-called Illuminati you want to be, rich, Hollywood, Bollywood, Nollywood, whatever you want to call this mess, these folks that have sold their soul to, it ain't going to matter. Man, the brother is dropping some heavy knowledge tonight. Amen. The brother dropping heavy knowledge all the time. Amen. I enjoy being on here listening to him. Amen. And, man, I'm telling you, he's telling the truth. Amen. Get ready.
Get your house in order.
All we can do is talk to people and tell people. I tell family and friends. Some listen. Some listen in awe with amazement, with the mouth basically open. Some of them don't. Some of them like, oh, here he go with this stuff again. I'm just being for real. I actually had a friend tell me, oh, here he go with this again. And it's sad. These are people that you know and love, people that I grew up with. Yeah. I've been knowing since kids, since childhood. And it's sad. You know, I'm almost 50 years old, but you don't want to see nobody lost. You don't want to see nobody go through the great tribulation, because if you are rejecting God now, it's only going to be a handful of people that's going to receive Christ compared to the people on the earth. It's going to be a great number. It is that's going to be saved. But there's going to be so many people that's going, because their heart is hard and they got a reprobate mind, they're going to lean towards the system because that's what they believe in. They believe in this system. You got people that they just believe in the governments of the world. They trust the government. Oh, the government's going to take her. And when they introduce that 666, oh, man, if I want to buy a set, and people are going to follow that. Like the brother said, man, he talks some. That's some heavy stuff.
Lord Jesus.
The mark of the beast, that's heavy. People are going to, and it's sad, man. It just saddens my heart. Amen. It saddens my heart. And I say that, and I'm not trying to be funny, but we used to have a little puppy. Amen. We actually gave him to one of our family. He was so cute. And he was a little hard-headed rascal. He was. I mean, you call him and tell him, you better not go out that yard. He'd run a little bit. He'll look back at you. He'll just take you out and run. That's a little rascal. He's just hard-headed. And he was so cute. But people remind you of that sometimes when you try to tell them something. Hey, man, look, you know, this is going to happen, brother. I'm praying for a blue. Yeah. You know, I'm just letting you know I don't want you. And they'll look at you like, and then they'll just go back to the world. They'll just like, oh, you know, ain't nothing going to happen. The sky ain't falling. Yeah. The sky ain't falling. And it just reminds me of that little puppy. Man, he's still around. He's a cute little son. We still see him from time to time. One of our family members have him. People remind me of that when you try to tell people, hey, look, man, this is going to happen. You know, brother, this is something to take serious. This is your soul. Oh, man. And they'll look at you, and then they'll run back out to the world and keep doing the thing. And it's sad because you know that not all of them are going to make it.
These Lord, help us.
Yep, man. Woo. Yes, sir, doctor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These are the same people that we got to see at the Great White Throne Judgment. People that we actually spoke to. People that's actually listening on the earth. However the way you listen to us, in church, on social media, face-to-face witness, they're going to reject Christ. Come on tonight.
Lord, help.
If you listen.
Lord, help.
Amen. Amen. If you hadn't received it, salvation is simple. As simple as 1, 2, 3, ABC. As simple as you breathe in the air. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, which we know as the plan of salvation. We mainly use those two verses. There's more verses. Primarily, we use those two verses just to keep it simple. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Amen. The
yes.
Lord Jesus believed in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The Bible
yes.
says thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
That's Romans the 10th chapter, verse 9. That's what it says.
Yes.
If you want salvation, if you want to escape this, because you don't have no way to you can't escape what's coming. I don't have no power. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I don't have the influence enough. I don't have the power enough to escape what's coming. Amen? And so
Amen.
The only way that I know how to escape this, my dad talked about this
Amen.
When I was a kid. All when I was growing up, my dad talked about the tribulation, the great tribulation. You boys better be ready. He warned us. He warned us. And one day I heard God's voice talking to me, Tim.
Praise God.
Praise him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, doctor. And
Amen,
I want that
doctor.
For as many people that listens under the sound of our voices, I want as many people as possible to get saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what verse 10 is saying, is that you have to be sincere about it, not just going through the motions. No, this is a sincerity thing. If I tell my wife I love her, I really love my wife. I tell my kids and grandkids I love them because I really do love them. It's a sincerity thing. It's not a joke. It's not a playful thing. Amen. Brother, I didn't know if you was giving it to me for the rest of the night, but if you want to say something for me, I didn't mean to take up the time.
No, you're all right. You finish it up.
Okay, amen, amen. We just want people to be saved. Fam, we know we in this last few seconds. You are royalty. We are royalty. We will see you in heaven, we believe, soon. Amen. We are believing for you all. We'll be back on the air Saturday night, 6 p.m. Central, 7 East Coast. We'll be back. We'll be back on the air to finish
amen.
This up. We're going to talk about, amen, the return of Christ and how to prepare for Christ's return. This is what
amen.
You want nothing more.